Over the years, I've had just a few spirited debates with colleagues about open communion. You see, there's a lot of academics and ordained persons that take the stance that a person must be baptized in order to receive communion. And although most of these people say they don't check baptismal certificates at the rail, they all seem to agree that our 1979 prayer book makes it clear that baptism is the full initiation by water and the Spirit into the life of Jesus. And I get that, and I understand that, and I agree. However, I still believe that access to Holy Communion can and does enact transformation. And if that is the way into church, baptism will probably follow. So here we practice open communion. Everybody is allowed to the table. My point was and is that Jesus never baptizes anybody in the Gospels. But he does eat with a lot of sinners. And in 3 out of 4 Gospels, he literally gives us words to remember him with bread and wine. And ultimately, he gives all of himself to all of us. He makes a point to let us know that we are part of him, part of the life of the Father, and watched over by the Spirit. But since Jesus didn't leave us with an instruction manual when he ascended to heaven, we've had to figure out how to do church. We've had to write rules and doctrines about everything because we needed it to be black and white. And such is the doctrine of the Trinity. It's the human attempt to explain and order a mystery. We certainly have reference to the Father, the Creator, the Spirit, the Advocate, the Incarnation, the Son. We have those references in Scripture, but we don't have an outline of what the Trinity really means. So instead of living into the mystery and trusting that what needs to be revealed will be revealed, many have tried to attach their own very detailed explanations to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You'll recite evidence of what is left behind of these Trinitarian debates in the Nicene Creed that we'll say together in just a few minutes. But the truth is, it's not really that important for us to sort out this doctrine of the Trinity. While literally arguments over the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have raged on for thousands of years, the rest of us have been down here living life and suffering and rejoicing and celebrating and grieving and loving and working, all the while realizing the vastness of God. We don't need to understand everything to recognize God in this world, or how we see God, or feel God, or experience the Creator and the Spirit of Incarnation. The first part of our gospel passage today, Jesus is continuing his long goodbye speech to his disciples. And he comes right out and tells them that they don't need to know everything all at once. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." I'm sure that that left them scratching their heads because they've literally been in the presence of the Incarnation. They've seen the result of the will of the Father. They've received the Spirit from the breath of Jesus. They've witnessed miracles. They've been told to be merciful, pure in heart, to be peacemakers, to love God and their neighbor. They've also been told that it's not going to be easy because Jesus said, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So what are these things that Jesus still has to say to his disciples? Perhaps they are things that are too painful or too honest or just too hard to grasp right then at that moment. And that's why God is sending the Advocate. And in the unfolding of time, the Spirit of Truth will reveal and teach and guide them and tell them all that they need to know. There's a lot of what Jesus has said to us that we still find hard to grasp the truth of. Yet truth seems so locked up for some Christian communities. They have truth, and nothing else can be learned or said or changed. But what those people fail to realize is that God, through the Son and the Spirit, continues to reveal to us. As especially urged in our gospel today, we need ongoing interpretation, not just a community that's locked in the last millennia or set in amber. The gospel of John lets us have a window into Jesus' dream that the Spirit will allow us to keep seeing anew how God, Jesus, and the Spirit work in us through changing circumstances and how the divine is inextricably linked to our lives. Our world is constantly changing and evolving. It's impossible to map the words of the Bible onto every situation of modern life. Stem cells, climate change, prolonged life, physician-assisted suicide. Many issues of our world today need not just our intellectual thought, but the work of God and us to discern. John's gospel really brings it home that the Spirit of truth will guide the Christian community. And that is not to say each person's personal agenda, but a direction that corresponds with Jesus' ministry of justice, love, and mercy. I don't think there's an expectation that God, through His Son, through the Spirit, will lead us to a new truth, but a truth that's always existed in God and exists in the triune God. Humans are so good at feeling empowered by our accomplishments and then setting limits on them and building fences by separating and compartmentalizing and categorizing and labeling. We're so proud of being individuals, even in our religious lives, having a personal Savior, having a private relationship with God, with no one else around. But one thing that we can discern from our triune God is that the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit are inseparable. And they're an inseparable community, all part of the divine God, all part of creation and incarnation and truth. Their intertwined existence provides us with a lens through which to view creation and relationships. We know that swirling around and in and through them is love, because that's where we come from and why we were created and why we exist. We know that Jesus, as the human form of God, had many things to teach us and still does through the Spirit, constantly leading us to the truth of what this life in Christ is all about: justice, mercy, and love. This truth is always at odds, it seems to be, with humanity that seeks to gain and to profit and to win. So it's so hard for us to see it sometimes, so hard for us to hear it, but it's there waiting for us to hear and see, waiting for us to believe, and waiting for us to enact. We don't have to know all the mysteries of the universe to know that we are loved and we are part of God's dream. We don't need to know all the divine secrets to know that what we are called to do and who we are called to be. Just like a Celtic knot, we are bound and twirled and intertwined with God and each other in community. And as children of a triune God, we are connected by an infinite cord of mystery to God's justice, mercy, and love in, through, and with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are forever in the presence of the divine truth. Amen.